David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today on the show. It is Garrett Keeler, and he is the founder of Lenders Academy, and he has some great knowledge he's going to share with you today, and you're going to be very amazed. So keep your ears on and listen carefully, because what he has to say could be a life changer for you. So Garrett, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, first of all. It's a pleasure to meet you. You know, I'll just go right into my story. I'm 30 years old now. I, funny enough, became a real estate agent when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
You know, ran into the same issues that a lot of people run into. You know, everyone's mother, brother, sister, grandfather is already a real estate agent. And as a younger kid, you don't really come in, you know, having a whole lot of connections. So I did it for a little while, and then went to college in Arizona, started a couple businesses, sold one in particular, and then was lucky enough to move to New York. At that time, you know, I had started another business in hospitality. And so you can see sort of a serial entrepreneur, right. Was later able to sell that right before COVID hit, funny enough.
Yeah.
And I found myself in sort of this same thing that everyone was in, right? The same situation where I'm like, damn, what do I do now? Right.
Yeah.
For the longest time, my inspiration was my father. He actually has been a lender for nearly 40 years now. He worked for all the major banks, and he's the one that pushed me into real estate in the first place when I was 18, right? And so I didn't know too much about it. He's always been a good mentor when it comes to both life and general skills, but also in real estate. I just never really understood you know, how lending worked until I really started to understand his business. And when he described it to me, I was like, wow, why didn't you tell me earlier that you were doing this big of deals at this velocity and dealing with, in some cases, celebrities? And so I'll get into that business. He and I are partners on a company called Keeler Capital, right? It's our last name.
Mm-hmm.
And to date, Keeler Capital has done nearly, I want to say, closing on $1 billion in transactions. And so we're a very small shop. We're a small shop based out of Newport Beach, California. And we do, for the listeners that don't quite know what hard money is or private money is, you know, we do a lot of unique deals, mainly in the non-owner occupied space. So we are not the mortgage lender that's helping someone buy their forever home. We are the person who is helping, say, an investor do a $10 million fix and flip in Newport Beach or in Seattle, Washington. We're the lender that is helping someone, say, pull cash out of their property. Maybe they own a $5 million property or $2 million property. And they need cash next week for some business purpose. They're buying another property. You know, they're starting a business outside of real estate, whatever it is, non-consumer loans, business purpose loans meant for creating profit, right, for that borrower. And so I was lucky enough to get into the business quickly, learn from my father, and then kind of expand on what we were doing. And so I've kind of given you an example of what mortgage lending is, right, versus what we do, which is first trustee lending, right? Very similar, you know, but we are only lending again to people who are trying to make profits in real estate. And so that's kind of the difference there is the someone's going to go live in the home. That's traditional mortgage lending. Someone's going to do for business purpose. That's what we do. And it's kind of interchangeable between private money and hard money lending. Like those two terms are kind of interchangeable. And so mortgage lending, it's a fun business. It's been great. And I like to educate people now through my course course Lenders Academy. And so Lenders Academy, just to get right into it, I think that's where we're headed anyways. And the purpose of this interview, Lenders Academy is an all-in-one platform in which someone can go from knowing nearly nothing about real estate to becoming a lender and nearly replicating my business. Now, there's one thing I should mention is that there's a divide in my business. 50% of my business is, again, what we call private money lending. That's where I find a super unique deal and I go raise that capital from private individuals to fund that deal, right? Yeah. So an example would be, again, say a fix and flip in Malibu, California. Maybe it's dilapidated. Maybe the property needs, you know, $5 million in additional work. And we'll go ahead and we'll physically raise that money because banks do not want to touch it, right? They don't want to touch something like that. Now, what I teach is not that. I don't want my students having to go raise capital. What I teach is brokering hard money loans to larger institutions. So there are other lenders out there that are doing billions of dollars in transactions per month. And they look to brokers like me. If I'm not doing a direct deal, they look to brokers like me who have a super simple, say, $1 million fix and flip that doesn't need too much work, super safe. Mm-hmm. They'll go up to very high leverage points. And as long as it fits within their credit box and what they're willing to do, they can easily fund deals that I provide, and I can ultimately earn a commission on those deals. So that's what I teach within Lenders Academy.
So you had mentioned about private money and you mentioned about hard money. I think for a lot of listeners, they're, you know, they understand about investing in general, but they don't hear a lot about the concept about private money versus hard money. Maybe you can go a little bit in depth and just like explain to the listeners the difference between the two.
Yeah, a lot of people get very confused, and it is a little confusing because without in-depth knowledge about lending, you know, it's difficult to say where. Well, look at it like a Venn diagram, right? Mm-hmm. In the middle, there's a real estate deal. Now, a private money lender can fund this deal, and also a hard money lender can fund this deal, depending on the deal terms, right?
Yes.
And the deal structure and the property itself. Now, with private money, you always got to think, okay, what if it's more unique, it's going to probably head over to the private money side because larger institutions would like to do volume, right? So if you look at Keeler Capital, for example, on the private side, we do things like, the property is 25 acres, where a hard money lender, an institutionally backed hard money lender, likely wouldn't touch acreage over, say, 10 acres, right?
Right.
15 acres, right? There's other things such as, you know, mid-construction. Lenders on the institutional side, on the hard money lending institutional side, they don't want to touch something that's mid-construction, right? It shows a lot of risk within the property. It shows a lot of risk within the deal. And so someone like that would need to come to the private money side, in which we go to investors and say, hey, guys, we have this borrower. We have this property. We believe in it. We're doing X amount of leverage, right? Low leverage. So we know for a fact, they have a significant down payment to reconfirm their commitment to the property and the deal. And we'll bring that to investors and we'll say, we believe in this deal. Would you like to fund it? And ultimately we'll raise capital at say 10% or 12%. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take a small spread in between there. Right. So we'll take a small spread within the interest rate.
Right.
Again, on the hard money side, if it's a simple cookie cutter fix and flip or like a rental property, I'll go bring that to my institutional lenders, my investors, my capital partners there, and they'll fund that thing in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right? And so for those, it makes a lot more sense for a borrower to go to the institutional side because they'll get higher leverage. They'll get more money on the purchase if it's a purchase, right?
Right.
If it's a refinance, they'll get more money on the refinance. But on my private side, investors, the individuals, the high net worth individuals that I need to invest in these deals, they want to make sure they are not going to get screwed by someone who isn't going to pay, say, in month two or three, or maybe the project fails.
Right.
Now, when you look at lending as a whole, even when you look at, say, Chase bank loans, right?
Right.
What's the collateral for these lenders, right?
Yeah.
If someone stops paying, obviously the property will go into foreclosure and that property will be taken back. Now, the collateral is the actual down payment.
Right.
When you look again at this private money side, you say to yourself, okay, well, what's the benefit? What's the protective factor for someone who's going to invest in my private money deals? Well,
right.
It would be, say, a 40% down payment or a 35% down payment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the institutionally backed hard money side,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see something like a 20% down payment.
Right.
But they're doing hundreds and hundreds of loans. And they're okay with some people foreclosing. They just want to make sure the majority of the loans are good. And in that way, they can be more effective and more competitive on bringing clients in.
Right.
Right. So it's really about leverage, deal uniqueness, right? Deal risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the entire, I think that's a good explanation when it comes to deciphering the differences between private money and institutionally backed hard money. I know it's a clear nuance there that not many people get a front row seat in.
It's actually clear and concise. I get it. I get it. And,
Mm-hmm.
you know, I was wondering, when it comes to mortgage lending and it comes to, you know, a brokerage lending and stuff like that, if someone's interested in doing this, is it hard to get into this field?
So traditionally speaking, yes. Now, I'll start with traditional mortgage lending, right? With traditional mortgage lending, you need to have a real estate license and you need to have an NMLS license if you're doing those consumer loans that we don't do.
Right.
Right. Now, with private money and hard money lending, because it's business purpose, only some states require licensing.
Okay.
There's another factor to this, and it's majority of states that don't need licensing, at least on the brokering side.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the direct lender and you're going to do private lending, and I probably shouldn't go too deep into this because per state, it's very different. And
right.
I don't want to give anyone the wrong idea about their specific state.
Right.
But someone in Florida can loan hard money or broker hard money loan, lend, excuse me, broker hard money loans without any licenses. So it's a beautiful thing. Right. So
mm-hmm.
it's an easy path to getting into real estate without needing money, but being on the inside track, the financing
right.
track, where people physically bring you deals and you get to see their business plan. Right. You get
right.
to see what they're doing, whether it's on the fix and flip side or maybe the construction project side, or maybe they're building a rental portfolio. Right.
Right.
And so your original question was, you know, kind of what are the barriers to entry to become a lender?
Mm-hmm.
Now, traditionally, at least from what I've seen, if I wanted to become a hard money lender, I would need to go basically work for a larger company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's plenty of larger companies out there that are hiring, hiring, hiring. It's a booming business. But those companies, you know, it's, of course, it's a corporate structure. They take a good portion of what you earn. But they do offer, you know, training just like any other, say, real estate sales agency,
right? Mm-hmm.
Or brokerage. And so there's a trade-off there. What I teach within Lenders Academy is a replication of my brokering business.
Okay.
And that's perfect for someone who, you know, either doesn't know anything about real estate. You could certainly join my course, join my program, become a member of the community, and learn the entire business from scratch. But what I've seen from, and we've just launched about a month ago, what I've seen from my current students is that a lot of them actually came from real estate. My three biggest, avatars, my student avatars, mm-hmm. are real estate wholesalers, real estate agents, mm-hmm. and real estate investors.
Okay.
And so I'll kind of explain each individual benefit to each one of those professions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of real estate wholesaling?
I have heard of it, yes.
Okay, good. So for the audience, you know, real estate wholesalers, if you don't know what it is, real estate wholesaling is you're basically looking for a worn down property that someone doesn't want to fix and they want to get out of. Maybe it's costing them money every month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they can't rent it. They just want to get rid of it.
Right.
Well, it's an
right.
opportunity for either an investor or a wholesaler to wrap that into contract, right?
Yeah.
And so they would call this distressed seller and try to wrap that property in contract. We're talking specifically about the occupation of wholesaling.
Right.
They would wrap that property in a contract, and then they would try to sell that to an end buyer for a fee, right? So an example would be, you know, let's just say a $500,000 property in Arizona. It's worn down. They think after they put, say, $100,000 into the rehab, they could sell it for $800,000. Well, a wholesaler would go try to wrap that 500K property up and then maybe sell it with an assignment fee of, say, $25,000 to an end buyer who's going to fix that up and then sell it on the open market, right?
Right.
So it's a big, long train, right? And so I just had a student join the course who I enlightened on, you know, kind of doubling on fees, right? So what does that mean? He earns an assignment fee already.
Right.
I said to him, well, how many buyers do you have on each and every deal? He says, I have about three or four people that want to buy each and every one of my deals. Well, I said, okay, that's fine. It's actually perfect because why don't you earn your assignment fee, but pick the buyer who's going to allow you to be the lender on the deal.
Right.
Right. And so for wholesalers, there's a huge benefit for them to earn, say, 2% on a loan amount, right? Which could be $400,000 loan amount. So an $8,000 fee with a $2,000 processing fee, they might earn $25,000 on the assignment fee and another $10,000 on the loan fee.
Right.
Right. So that's a huge benefit. Then there's the real estate agents who, you know, I've seen in some cases a 90% downtick in business since COVID.
Right.
COVID rates were low and everyone was doing super, super, super well.
Right.
Right. Those same real estate agents maybe have gotten used to a lifestyle now that they can't afford.
Yeah.
Now, to combat that, they can actually represent a buyer or a seller. And in terms of just representing buyers, they can offer them the service of actually being their real estate agent, finding their property, negotiating,
right.
you know, doing the whole, all the contracts. But they can also say to the buyer, hey, listen, I'm also a lender. I can be your lender on this fee, on
right.
this, on this property, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing would be, and I'll go into my own portfolio as an example, would be for real estate investors. Now, I have two real estate investor students that aren't necessarily going to go lend money out, right? But they do want to be sort of finger on the pulse when it comes to knowing rates, not being upcharged on rates,
right?
Not being upcharged on fees, physically earning fees on their own transaction.
Right.
And so I just had a student come to me and say, yeah, I've paid nearly $300,000 in fees over seven different transactions. I brought up my own portfolio to him. I said, listen, I own nearly $12 million in real estate that I've accumulated over the last 4 to 5 years. And I've done each and every one of those loans for myself.
Right.
Right. Those are rental properties. I do I have a larger Airbnb portfolio, right? Mostly in Scottsdale, Arizona, which was an amazing market. But I went ahead and I saved myself nearly $280,000 in fees that I would have ultimately paid to someone like me.
Right.
In some cases, lenders will upcharge the rate and you don't really know what's going on in the back end.
Yeah.
So it's a substantial advantage for someone to be on the inside track of either lending to someone else, right? No, or lending to themselves in a way, right? So I hope that makes sense.
No, that definitely makes sense. So this course, how can people get involved in your course?
Yeah, absolutely. So you would go to lendersacademy.io. That's lendersacademy.io. And you would just watch this simple video. I have a little educational video. Sign up for a call from me. I don't accept everyone. You know, we're gaining steam. We're getting lots of people. We're getting lots of interest. And as long as the person seems like they would be successful in the occupation, I go ahead and push them, you know, to ultimately join our community and our course.
Now, is this mainly focused for real estate agents, or this is really a broad verse of occupations in the real estate area? So there's different types of occupations that would fit into this course.
Yeah, I would say that it makes a whole ton of sense for someone who's already in real estate. And when I was first creating the course in the community, I said to myself, well, what if I want to make it so that anyone can do it, right? Mm-hmm. And so the course is so broad, it goes into elementary level real estate. Like what is a single family home, one to four units, right? Mm-hmm. Now there's a portion of that, but then it quickly goes into lending, into financing. It goes into the math equations necessary to actually become a lender. It's things you got to know. It's not too difficult. It's not rocket science, but there isn't an educational platform out there today, or there wasn't until Lenders Academy, that can actually teach someone to become a lender without them having to go the traditional route, the corporate route of working for someone else and getting half their fees taken away.
Right.
There's one more thing I want to mention about Lenders Academy that I equip my students with. You know, the course itself is about 107 videos. It took me nearly 9 months to create.
Right.
And I wanted to be this holistic thing. You see a lot of gurus these days selling what is, I don't know, 50, 60, 70% of a business.
Yeah.
Lenders Academy is the full thing start to finish with ongoing support, 1 to 2 calls a week. We do group calls a week where people can ask questions because there's so many scenarios within real estate, right? Whether you're a real estate agent or a wholesaler or a lender.
Right.
And it takes someone with knowledge to go through the, you know, 10,000 scenarios that there could be.
Yeah.
Right? So I really wanted to make sure that my students were getting everything on their own, as far as like the pre-recorded messaging, as well as the ongoing support, so that no one gets left in the dust and feels like, oh, damn, I wasn't able to learn, you know? I would say 50% of its value, though, is the vetted lender and capital partner sheet that I provide to my lender. So every lender and every capital partner that I use in my own business for my own loans, I supply a direct relationship to the reps at those firms, funds, and family offices. And so anyone who goes through my course is able to directly access those lenders without going through me. They're completely passed on to them, and they can begin their business immediately. There's also action points within the course that ask you to, hey, start your LLC, right? Here's what state you need to do it in.
Right.
You know, here's how you create your logo. Here's how you create landing pages, funnels. There's a whole marketing module that's really in depth in terms of actually getting the clients, getting the borrowers. Because what is the job after you have the money, right? You have the education. All you really need to do is find the borrower. You need to find the client. And so that's the most important thing, right? And that's how you're just bringing in business.
So if you had to say, like, what are the top three benefits, like, from your program, you know, you just went over, like, what are some of the main benefits that people are going to walk away from that they didn't have previously when they came into your program?
Yeah, that's a great question. Someone asked me this the other day. One of the main benefits, I think, is an opening of anyone's eyes, really, an opening of your eyes, right? Every building, look around at your neighborhood, right? Whether you live in a, you know, an apartment building or a gated community or, you know, big city, a small city, whatever it is, nearly everything was built off of debt, right? Everything. Our country is built off debt. We owe so much money to many other countries, to our own people, really. And so it's important to know how financing works, and it's important to know the rules within financing so that it isn't just a question mark, right? You don't want to look at the world and just kind of stumble on by and say, oh, I don't know how that skyscraper came about, right?
Yeah.
Someone didn't come in with cash. They likely took debt from a bank, you know, from a private investor. They likely took money from someone else to make that dream a reality. And so I would say that's the biggest benefit to becoming a lender and learning financing, right?
And what do you say some of the maybe uniqueness of your course? Because there's so many courses out there. What makes yours so unique compared to others out there?
Yeah, there's a ton of real estate courses out there. Like, I really hate being the pushy salesman, and you know, if you're interested in wholesaling, go do wholesaling. If you're interested in being a real estate agent, you want to be on Selling Sunset, go do that. That's your dream. The beautiful thing about lending is that you never have to leave your desk. You know, I hate to rag on real estate agents, but, you know, I've been one, right? I've physically lived it, and I know the struggle of walking a couple to 10 different homes, them saying, yes, we're going to buy. You spend about 10, 12 hours walking them through homes, and they never buy. They say, oh, maybe next year.
Right.
Well, with lending, again, you don't have to leave your desk.
Even
when we do appraisals, the appraisals are ordered by the actual capital partner. So someone goes out there and does an appraisal. You don't need to even be in the same state. I do loans. I live in New York City currently. Our office is in California. And we do loans in Florida. We do loans in Texas, Washington, California, Hawaii. We do a lot of loans in Hawaii, even it being, you know, thousands of miles away. So I hope that answered your question.
No, it does. Go ahead.
For the audience, I'd love to go over like a deal scenario, right? Like a lot of people are confused about how lenders make money in the first place. And so I'll give you a quick example if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's just say you're helping someone do a bridge loan, right? A bridge loan is basically transactional funding. We do a ton of them. It requires no rehab cash. It doesn't serve the purpose of actually getting them to rehab the home. But someone might be, you know, in need of buying a property, and they need quick cash, right? They would come to someone like us, right? They're going to pay higher interest, but, you know, that's for a purpose, right? So let's just say an investor is looking at a property. They think the area is going to increase in value. And they say, hey, I'm buying this $1 million property. Garrett, what can you give me? I would go ahead and give that person nearly 80% of the purchase price. So think about 80% of $1 million is $800,000. They would come in with $200,000. But where we really earn fees and interest and our origination, and by the way, lenders earn what's called an origination fee, And that's how we primarily get paid. It's a lump sum at closing. So when they close on the property, you get paid out your commission. You know, we'll charge sometimes 2 and 3% on that transaction. So let's take, you know, if I were to pull my calculator out really quick, you know, let's just take that $800,000 loan amount, and let's just say I charge 2.5%. Or one of my students charges 2.5%. That's a $20,000 commission. On top of that, there's processing fees, sometimes $2,000 or $3,000, sometimes $1,000, sometimes nothing, right? You want to stay competitive in the market because there's plenty of lenders out there, but there aren't too many, right? And so generally I get people who come to me. I don't really do that much outreach anymore. But a $20,000 commission is substantial. Again, the velocity of commissions to your business is much higher because I never have to spend 10, 12, 15 hours on a single client, as maybe a real estate agent would have to do.
Right.
And so in that case, I can close 2 to 5 deals a month, and that's pretty standard for us. Anywhere between $200,000 loans all the way up to $30 million loans.
Right.
And we have outlets and capital partners that will go up to those loan amounts. So, I mean, you guys can do the math for yourself. If I'm speaking to the audience, do 2% on a $30 million loan and see what that comes out to.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a substantial business. You can make a lot of money in the business. And as far as time efficiency, I'd argue that it's one of the best businesses in real estate, right? You've got your finger on the pulse of real estate.
Right. It seems like you can really get into this business at any time of your life. Like, you don't have to, you know, go from the get-go and be in real estate at such an early age and then go into brokerage like you did. This is a career that you could actually obtain the knowledge. And if you need certifications, you can get the certifications you need for your state. But it really is a opportunity at any time of your life. You could actually transition over as long as you understand the concept and get the right education for it. And will it take long to get the right education, or something like your course could actually give people enough knowledge where they could begin their own career?
Yeah, it's funny. From my portal, I can track the progress of every one of my students. And so far, our first 10 students seem to be getting through it, which is a good sign, right? Seems to be, not something they're putting off. Let's say that. So, it seems like everyone's finishing within 30 to 45 days, and then they're ready to get going, right? They're ready to chase after clients and start doing deals. And so really it could be as quick as 30 days.
Oh, wow. Now, you need, when you're in this type of business, can you be solo, or is this something that you'll have to develop a team and, create your own small business? And is it something like that?
That's an amazing question. So we have a team. We've built I consider a very small shop. We have about 5-6 people working with us. But you can do it on a solo mission. Or you can grow. You can start as a solo mission, which is what I think everyone should do at the beginning. Probably shouldn't, unless you experience the business, at least for a year or two, you probably should not be expanding that quickly.
Yeah.
But a one-man show can make $1 million a year, right? A one-man show can do, as long as you stay on it, you're diligent, you're doing the outreach, and you're physically making calls, calling referral partners, right? And you're bringing in business, you can make a 6 to 7 figure, what I think is called a salary, right? Your business can make 6 to 7 figures within the second year.
That's amazing. Now, where can people find your course? Is it on your website, or is it to a specific landing page?
Yeah, so we have a nice little landing page. You would find it at lendersacademy.io. That's lendersacademy.io. You can find me on all social media. It's just Lenders Academy. Super simple. There's tons of free value on each and every one of my pages. And sooner or later, I'll have an ebook out if you're interested, but you're kind of iffy on what lending is still. Also, I have a YouTube channel where you can go and I physically describe what hard money lending is. And I describe a little bit more about my income streams, and I have multiple within real estate, such as my rental portfolio, which I had mentioned. But it's a great place to go for free value, for free education, and ultimately look forward to seeing you guys there.
And do you provide any other services besides the coaching, besides the ebook? You also provide your own services to clients as well if they need your services.
Yeah, we're rolling out a one-on-one mentor program. So for people who want to be essentially handheld, right, all the way through their first transaction, we do something like that as well. That can be added on to the program later. If you're looking for a hard money loan, feel free to reach out. gkeeler@keelercapital.com. Aside from that, we take investor capital. If you're looking for a 10, 11, 12% return on our private money side, but really I'm pushing the education. I'm super excited about teaching people and getting people sort of aware of what they can accomplish
Right.
with nearly $1 billion back in you in 30, 45 days. So,
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, if
yeah.
you wanted to emphasize on a couple of things, what would you like the listeners to understand from everything that we talked about today? Maybe like three important factors that you'd like to emphasize on.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's investing, if you have some capital set aside, whether it's becoming a real estate agent, wholesaling, whether it's fix and flipping a property, right? Doing a house hack, lending. I encourage everyone to get into real estate. I think it's the best business in the world. It's been nearly proven to be the best business in the world because it has the most millionaires generated out of any industry. And that's a mere fact. And it's changed my life. So, I'm super happy about it. I think everyone should kind of, whether you're dabbling in real estate or not, I think everyone should kind of head in that direction.
Well, I'll have to agree with you. I have a whole family that, focuses on real estate, and they've all, each and every one of them, have done very well for themselves. So I'll definitely
Awesome.
back you up on that comment.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss.
Well, this has been amazing, Garrett. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to add to the conversation?
Think that's about it. Find me on socials again, Lenders Academy or Garrett Keeler, and follow us on our journey to 1,000 students.
That's amazing. Well, Garrett, this has been amazing. Your information has been unbelievably, it's just a whirlwind of information that I feel is very beneficial. And the way you explained it was very simplistic. So it's really easy to understand. And I definitely think it's something that, if people are interested in or ha always have been interested in and they haven't really pursued it yet, this is definitely the time, I think, to maybe step back and think about, what you want for your future. And,
Awesome.
definitely check you out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Stacy.
Oh, you're very welcome, and you have a great day.
Cool. You as well.